Hey there, this is Brie Bagwell with Only Vans, and we all know that vinyls are back, baby. Well, they have been for a long time, actually, and my friends at Hand Drawn Pressing have got you covered. They just finished up a reprint of my vinyls, and they really walk you through the entire process. I picked out a different vinyl color for this run, and they're red and black. Oh my gosh. They offer so many color options, and you can also put in inserts in the vinyl jackets or download cards. They can make your customized vinyl dreams come true. They pay for themselves so quickly, it's insane, and their turnaround time is quite impressive, if I do say so myself. Also, they were at my show the other day, like we're friends in real life. How cool is that? They're a Texas-based independent plant helping artists help themselves. Get your vinyl manufactured in the USA by my friends at Hand Drawn Pressing. You won't regret it. Tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you. Go to handdrawnpressing.com for all the info and check out their awesome content on Instagram. Their handle is at Hand Drawn Records. Hey, Only Vans listeners, this is Brie Bagwell, and I want to invite y'all to join me August 14th through 17th in Red River, New Mexico, my home state, for 8750 Festival 2025. This boutique festival features 3 nights and 3 days of outstanding musical performances across 4 venues, alongside a barbecue cook-off, a CASI red chili cook-off, a state championship green chili cook-off. This is after my heart, y'all. This year's lineup is stacked, and there are no overlapping shows, so you don't have to miss one single note. 3-day passes are on sale now, and they are expected to sell out. The 3-day pass gets you into every show Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and it includes 2 full meals and a discounted lift ticket to get you up to Music on the Mountain on Sunday. You can get tickets to sign up to compete in a cook-off and learn more over at their website, 8750festival.com, 8750festival.com. You can use coupon code ONLYVANS, that's all caps and no space at checkout, to save
$10
off of your 3-day passes. Once again, go to 8750festival.com, get your tickets, and join me for an incredible weekend.
And like, when I love someone, I really love them. And I think that it's not a problem. It's just when you overlove people that don't matter.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time. It's still taking me time to figure out who matters and who doesn't.
It's my toxic trait too. I always see the best in people, even people that, you know, employees or people that are or whatever, and especially in relationships. I would be like, this, but you know, there's 80 million red flags. They're right in my face, but they right mean there. Well.
Hey, everybody, this is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
You are like the prettiest human. I always see your pictures and I'm like, wow, are you so pretty?
Thank you. I've worn this shirt 4 times this week.
Great.
Safety what shirt blankets. Is it?
Oh.
Oh,
ACL.
Worked ACL
in 2019.
You did?
It was very fun.
Doing
that's
what?
That's what I used to do. Bartending. Oh. Well, no, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. 2019, I worked for the Salt Lick.
Oh.
Catering and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you just sneak barbecue?
All day. All day long. That's how I got these guns.
Yeah. Right. Is that a new toy we got? We got a little new...
Nice. Extra
this,
light.
This podcast is really moving up. We have a light from Amazon. We have a whiskey cam. This is the first podcast where we have a camera just for whiskey.
Oh.
Yeah. I wear my Awkward is the New Black shirt.
What is it?
Awkward is the New Black.
Oh. I'm really glad you wore that because me on camera.
You said that and I was like, if I looked like you, I'd be on camera all the time. Oh. I'd be like, get this camera in my face.
Ma'am.
I'm just so happy that you're here. I want to start by saying that your cover of Cover Me Up, when you do that live, I mean, my goodness, it rivals anything, any version of that. It is so good.
Thank you.
You're such a good live singer, and it's just blows me away. And I, but you recorded that, right? You recorded that one?
I did record that. We had a really beautiful moment in the studio. I think that I went through so much in life that I don't know how to sing with less conviction, you know? I didn't start this till later, so... there was a moment in the studio when one of the guys that we were recording with was, you know, he was like, well, just sing it back to me so that I can really understand what we need to do. And I sang it to him, I think a cappella, and he got tears in his eyes and he looked at me and he was like, you're going to find that one song, and it's going to be everything that breaks through, everything that you have. It's going to really break through. And I was like, oh, what an inspirational moment. So
it's so cool coming from a girl.
Mm.
And now he threw a chair off the roof today or something. I didn't have time to dive into it.
Ooh, I didn't either. Jeff told me about it.
Yeah, I just, you know, if there's one thing we're not going to be doing, it's throwing chairs from a rooftop.
No.
Among other things. But this is my friend Kayla Jane, everybody. And I'm so on. We've been trying to make this. Oh, she's tired. We've been trying to make this podcast work for just so long. And I feel honored because you just sent me your new song, and I got to hear it, not before anyone else, but before it's out. Can you talk about it?
I can talk. I can so talk about
this.
Okay,
I can't
really
wait.
Excited.
I can't wait. It's about me, I think. No. It's about you, maybe.
You want me to talk about it now?
Sure.
Ah, okay. I've been married 4 times, and I got divorced this last time at 36, and I just made so many bad decisions, and I chose, speaking of bad decisions, I chose to do music at 36 years old, start a music career.
Perfect timing. Actually, I think it is, because you know who you are and what you want to say now. I think that...
I do now.
Yeah.
4 years into it, I'm 40, by the way.
Yes,
I'm
girl.
40.
Yeah. And age shouldn't be a thing. You should be able to be an artist no matter what.
I agree with that. Yeah, so Queen of Bad Decisions, and I preface it with, it took me 37 years and 4 ex-husbands to get here, and I've done my research, and yeah. So me and David Lee, you know David Lee?
I love him. He is awesome.
Him and his wife and his daughter, and even you, Cameron, you're included in that. They're just all the best people.
An incredible writer, like right in our backyard. Mm-hmm. I haven't written with him yet. I really need to. Or Jessie. I can't believe I haven't written with her either. But
yeah.
So you wrote that with him?
I did. I wrote that with him.
Oh, my gosh.
So we sat down in his little studio, and he says to me, he was like, so what do you have? What are we writing about today? And I said, I was so embarrassed. Like, I didn't even know how to approach him. No one wants to be that person that throws the spaghetti at the wall that doesn't stick.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt like I was going to be that girl.
Even though that is what co-writing really is.
That's really what it is.
Sometimes I'm like, this is a great idea. And they're like, no, I'm not feeling that.
You know, you think everyone's going to laugh, and they're like,
okay. Nice to meet you. I have this idea about 4 ex-husbands.
And he says, so what's your first line? And I said, cheap vodka and expensive men. I've paid the price for both of them. And he goes, well, that's your first line to your song.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, we went on with Queen of Bad Decisions, and I'm so incredibly proud of it. And it's a rock song.
It's so good. It is an anthem. I'm so proud of you. And you're going to do a video for it?
I'm doing a video for it in 2 weeks.
Yes.
It's going to be, yeah. If you're in town, you got to come out.
I would love to.
Yeah.
I will be, I'll wear a tiara. I'll be the princess of bad decisions. Whiskey can be the princess dog of bad decisions.
Aww.
That's awesome. I'm proud of you for, you kind of like really take your life and put it out at the forefront. And I think that authenticity always shines through, and you're very open about talking about what you have been through. I love how you say expensive men too, because I think people don't realize a lot how, I mean, every relationship I've ever been in, I feel like has cost me so much time and money. Relationships aren't just expensive for men. They can be incredibly expensive for women. Or, I mean, I remember even like driving hours to be with somebody, and all the gas and the hotel rooms and the losing gigs and losing sleep. And I don't know. It's a relationship is such an investment. I can't imagine for marriages too. That's,
yeah. And I'm an overcommitter. And like, when I love someone, I really love them. And I think that it's not a problem. It's just when you overlove people that don't matter.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time. It's still taking me time to figure out who matters and who doesn't.
It's my toxic trait too. I always see the best in people, even people that, you know, employees or people that are or whatever. And especially in relationships, I would be like, this, but you know, there's 80 million red flags. They're right in my face, but they right mean there. Well.
And it's like, because I feel like I've also been that misguided in the way that I tend to say things really blunt. I try to be softer. I try really hard to be softer, but I say things really blunt. And so I just know where I'm coming from all the time. And when other people, you know, say things misguided and.
Right. Yeah. Well, my dad would never do that, right? My dad would never intentionally mislead or gaslight me or anything. So I think my problem was learning that men are capable of doing those things because I didn't grow up that way. And so whenever a man would do something that would just totally turn me on my head, it would be like, what? I didn't know that men were capable of this kind of actions, but they really are.
Yeah.
And even physical, you've been through that. I mean, I don't, if you said nothing's off limits.
Nothing's
because you're,
off limits.
But I mean, I just can't believe that what you have been through and you're so strong and like, to hell with that.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, I let somebody, I allowed it. And let's be adults here. Hold on.
Okay.
I enabled behaviors and I allowed them to just perpetuate and keep on going. And so at some point, you know, part of it's my fault because I didn't put an end to it. But it's also, at some point I did put an end to it.
Yeah.
It just, I just had to get there.
Right. Well, him putting his hands on you was 0% your fault. That is unacceptable behavior.
It's unacceptable for sure.
Is that where dirty hands came from? Or filthy hands? Sorry.
Oh my God, no.
Oh, okay.
It's not where filthy hands came from.
I was listening to that earlier and I was like, dang girl.
And Jeff tells me all the time, he's like, can you please just play this song out? And I'm like, I can't. It's really dramatic and it's really not about what anybody thinks it is. I can't tell the actual story. I can't let it be recorded, but it was about a circumstance that was completely unrelated and I was really frustrated. And I think that's where all my songs come from. It's just this, I get this inner turmoil that, you know, binds up in me. And then I write a song in 15 minutes.
You write that fast?
Yeah. It's always that fast and furious.
That's amazing. That's great. I write pretty fast too. Maybe not that fast, but I always write quickly and then go back and edit or polish up or whatever. But that's how mine happened too. I rarely meet somebody who writes that, but I don't think I've ever met anyone that writes in 15 minutes. That's amazing.
I genuinely have to say, I think there's like one song or two that I came back and wrote, but pretty much every song I've ever written has been in like within 30 minutes.
Wow. That's incredible.
But I only have like 10 songs. It's fine.
But that's great. They're like itching to come out. That is awesome.
They are.
That is so fascinating. So have you co-written much before David Lee, or do you co-write much, or mostly by yourself?
No, it's like pulling teeth for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to dig around because I wait until there's frustration in my life. Well, not that there's really never frustration in my life. It's life is pretty easy going for me where I am right now. Like something has to really emotionally bother me and I sit on it and I'll ruminate on it, like silently in the background, you know, and then I let it all out.
Right.
Just that fast. It's kind of wild.
Mm-hmm.
I have a new song that I just wrote about. Well, it's called the Lamb, the Wolf and the Joker. And it's about perpetuating family trauma. So it's pretty wild. It's a story. It's cool.
Is it autobiographical?
Not about me, mm-hmm. but about a situation that I'm dealing with, and it's not like, some of it's fictional. It's implied.
Yeah. I love good. That. I just wrote a song. It played on the podcast a couple weeks ago, but it's like kind of a sexy song, and it was just so funny. Like, oh my gosh, sorry. Like, mom and dad, I'm about to record this song. Or sometimes I write songs that aren't about my life, so I have to, you know, preface it to, not so much to Paul anymore, he understands, but you know, you write a song about a boy and you're like, sorry about this song, but it has to be done. It must be done. Good. So there's more plans to record more stuff then?
There is. Soon? I've got a handful of songs that are ready and waiting. I think I wanted Queen of Bad Decisions to be, I wanted that to be like my statement.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've recorded stuff in the past And that was great. I had to, you know, I got content out there and it's good. And it was really well recorded and all that. But like this time it was time for me to make an impact.
I'm so glad. And it's very you. It's very awesome. You texted me, let's just talk about cutting our bangs and starting a music career at 36. It's like, perfect.
Great ideas. Good decisions, y'all. Yeah.
Well, it is. And it's also, you know, I think the book that I'm reading right now is a lot of us say, well, I can't do that. I'm this old or this old. And that's how I feel about a lot of stuff. And I'm Bonnie Bishop's teaching the class. And that's how it's a very common thing. But it's actually kind of a BS excuse that we tell ourselves, and it keeps a lot of really great art from happening. Because, I mean, I would be so sad if you didn't take the plunge to do it. What were you doing before?
I did all sorts of stuff. I was like a show handled standard poodles in
Wait,
rings.
What does that
I used to
mean?
Train dogs. I used to groom dogs. I went to hair school, and I learned how to do cosmetology and all the stuff and massage therapy and I did catering and bartending, and hospitality's always been my thing, like service in general, taking care of people, and you know, in all those ways. And I worked festivals and I worked for the Salt Lick. I ate good those years.
Yeah. So you've been circling around, like jumping in and doing music for sure, because
Kinda. I always wanted to, and then you know, I got stuck in a situation where somebody just told me my dream wasn't possible. You know, people can't tolerate you. People don't like you. They just like if you get up there and sing, and you could never do this, and you could never commit, and all that stuff. And
was that one specific person, or
that was one specific person. That was my ex-husband for sure.
Yikes!
I couldn't drive or not drive the car. Like I couldn't do anything. It was all controlled. Completely controlled.
Trying to dim that light, girl.
But after him, like I didn't realize. Like I thought what I was going to do in life was capped. And even after him, I thought it was like my potential was capped.
Right.
And I picked up the guitar and I started playing for I don't know 6 months or something. And January 9th, 2020 was my first gig at the Salt Lick.
Yeah.
And I couldn't play guitar for myself. Ty Dillon played guitar for me and lugged his equipment out. Do you know him?
No.
He's great.
Okay.
He's awesome.
Shout out.
Yeah. And so we did a gig and then I got laid off 2 months later. So I was like, well, I guess I don't have any options. Here we are, you know?
Yeah. So it kind of like forced you to do it.
Did.
That is beautiful. Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Bree and Whiskey sent you. What advice do you have for, I mean, I was in a relationship that it was not physically abusive, but it was definitely very emotionally crazy where it was, I had to retrain my entire brain to think separate, to think differently. Because when somebody, especially somebody that you trust, I think a lot of times people, they'll say, how could you ever date that? That's so stupid. It's like the guys don't start out like that, really. They kind of do this whole switch. It's kind of like a slow...
They groom you.
Yes.
Because they know what their intentions are, and their intentions are all that matters. Mm-hmm. What they want is the only thing that matters. And so getting you to comply is the long game. And once they get you to comply, they can get you to do anything.
Yeah, 100%. And mine was... you're going to get off the road and not play music anymore. When that was, it was so insane because that's not what the deal was. I mean, that was not the deal. And then I had invested all this time and we said, money and emotions, and it had just been a roller coaster. And then I found out that that was like the end game, and it was so devastating. But I remember sitting there and saying, I have to leave. I have to get out of this situation, and it might end my career and it might be over, but I'm going to. And I did. And it was just the beginning, right? So it's, I don't know if that's the advice that I have for people, but if you have any advice for people out there, I mean, what do you think about that?
cut the rope. Yeah. Don't mourn too long and move on. Like, because it's only a moment in time, and rumination, and this is proven, this is a proven fact, that rumination is one of the biggest factors of depression. Ruminating on over-talking, over-discussing your pain, overthinking your pain, is one of the biggest factors of depression. And you, I mean, depression is going to keep you in your same space. And so, yeah, cut the line. Stop thinking about it.
Yeah. Trust your gut too, because my gosh, I should have done it sooner. And I did that. And I can't believe that I did, like, looking back, and I'm so, so glad. And I'm so proud of you for doing it too. But I agree. I'm a dweller, and I'm also was a sucker for apologies and all changes.
Same.
And I think people don't make, very rarely do they make giant changes in their lives and their behavioral patterns.
Very rarely.
Yeah.
If you have someone with a proven track record that they're capable of making those changes, mm-hmm. whether before you or during your whatever, like, maybe then consider that. But yeah, it's hard to find someone that has that track record, that they're capable and that they have the desire and the motivation to change themselves.
Right.
Speaking of changing ourselves, like, I was just, I don't know, 30 minutes ago at Mosey's when I was drinking a martini.
You had a martini before you came here? I should have met you for a martini.
Ooh.
I love Mosey's martinis.
They're the best.
Yeah.
I was up there stressing out, and I was like, Jeff, I have to be on video. I've got to be on video.
I need a martini right now. Which, you're like so such good. A natural. Okay, so yeah, you were at Mosey's.
We were at Mosey's, and I was having my martini, and I said, Jeff, I don't know if it's because I just turned 40 or if it's because I'm just really confident in our relationship.
Yeah.
Or because, like, I have my kids back.
I know. It's okay. Oh, I know. I love it. It's just, you're making me cry. I know.
I said, I don't even know if it's this new tattoo. Like, this is a whole...
Hey, you're making me do it. Because I feel you. Dog, take your time. Kyle, he can cut.
We can cut this out.
We can have a martini. No, we're not cutting out. We can have another martini real fast. I'm just kidding. Sweet girl.
It's just this whole new chapter. And again, I thought, like, my potential was capped, and I'm just now realizing that it's not.
No.
You know, and I feel like I'm embarking on all these really scary things that I'm not afraid of.
Right.
You know?
And the book that I'm reading right now that says this lady, she went to film school when she was 15 years older than everyone else. She went back to film school. She was older than everyone else. Her being older than everyone else gave her such an advantage in life because she was more committed. She was more dedicated. She had her life together more than 21. I mean, I was a disaster 15 years ago, whatever. So it kind of gave her a leg up. And now that she's a teacher at that film school and very successful, her best students are the people that are older because they are the same way. You know what I mean? And so, like, it shouldn't be a barrier to entry. Like, I think... I was telling Kyle, like, you're just an incredible singer and you're an incredible writer.
Thank you.
And it is a whole new chapter and it's so exciting and you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And I'm a cheerleader for you because you are so talented and you deserve a good relationship. So I'm so glad that you have that. Like, someone who supports you.
Thank you.
It's so hard to find.
Jeff Kinney.
Ow, Jeff.
Jeff Kinney is, and I always call him by his full name, Jeff Kinney.
That's so cute.
He's just selfless. I sometimes feel really guilty because I didn't fill up the reservoir on the Keurig. Because I know when I go to get coffee every morning, he hears the bed move when it's time for me to, when I get up, and he goes and he makes me coffee, and I walk up to the coffee pot and there's coffee made.
Yep.
But I also know that when I go to make myself coffee, you know, the second cup, like, there's always water in it. The dogs always have water, like. You know, this is always picked up and that's always picked up. And he's able to live such structure all the time. Like, he selflessly lives his life to any, make sure everything's done before I need it. And music is chaos.
And it's always changing. And no matter how much you plan for it, something's going to change, or it's going to rain, or someone's going to forget a quarter inch, or
for sure
you have one too many whiskeys and you have to find an Uber. I don't know.
Yeah.
These things just are crazy.
And he's always there to like bend to the chaos, but he's always there so structured. And I could not imagine a better partner in life. And I'm going for number 5.
Hell yeah. Let's get married on this podcast. I
know, no,
I saw that ring on your finger. I was like, are you guys going to get married?
We will. We're going to elope and go to Mexico.
I love that. Yeah. That is perfect.
It's personal.
Uh-huh. And it takes a very strong, structured man to love somebody, like to love an artist. And when someone's taking take all the time, it was too draining when I was with another person that was like, and I don't mean to be a disaster, but like I forget to clean the coffee pot, and Paul East never forgets to clean the coffee pot, but it's fine because he's not like, you're a mess, you're a bad person.
No,
I'm going to clean this, and I'm always apologizing for things that he isn't even asking for an apology for. He says, I don't care. And we've been together 4.5 years and I'm still, this part of my brain is still, you know, I better text him as soon as I get off the stage. He doesn't care. He trusts me.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
Absolutely.
It's a long healing process if you're going through it. But I want to change the subject before we run out of time, because I want to talk about your Picker's Circle. Because you created, like, it was your idea, right?
It was not my idea. It was Joel Hoffman that reached out to me, and he was like,
I love
him. He said, I do too. And he says, hey, do you want to, in that Joel Hoffman voice, do you want to run this Picker Circle? And I was like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, I'll pay you such and such, and we're going to do this every Sunday. And that was like in the infancy of me doing this. I was a terrible guitar player at this point, and so he took a chance on me in the very beginning, and it really resonated with me because I would show up every other Sunday, and it kind of didn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter what happens on a Sunday, like, as long as we are all respecting each other and we all show up with, with whatever. You can just come as you are, and it's become church. It's a really important, really special thing.
That's great. And also having steady gigs and income like that is really important.
Absolutely. I know I can count on a certain amount a month. Yeah.
Every other week. So you're still doing it every other week.
Every other Sunday.
At Riley's Tavern, everybody.
Yeah, in Hunter, Texas.
Hunter, Texas.
And Bo Porter does it on the opposite weeks. Bo Porter's a friend of mine. It's just so good. And every, on the rare occasion that I just don't want to do something on a Sunday, I still go in there and I leave with my cup really full.
Absolutely. Do you have to bring your own guitar, or can you borrow one?
No, come use mine.
Cool.
We pass them around all the time.
How fun. Okay.
It's so fun.
Well, we've been meaning to come, and the one week I had it on my calendar to go, and then it wasn't your week. Not that I don't love him too, but I wanted to go show up for you, but we're going to make it happen.
Thanks.
No problem.
It's cool. We've had some really, really interesting people stop by. We've had some players that are like, oh, we played Green Hall last night, but we're still in town. We play with such and such, insert name here.
Yeah.
And it was cool.
So you never know who's going to show up.
I never know
who's going to show up. That is so fun. Yeah.
A lot of traveling musicians and such.
Oh my gosh. And Riley's Tavern, what a gem of a place.
Mm-hmm.
What is the statistic? It's like one of the oldest, whatever. I'm going to get
it
wrong.
Oh, it's the first bar after Prohibition. Their TABC number is like 0000001.
One. That's it.
Yeah, it's on the wall.
I was like, I know there's something there. I love that place. I have this podcast is not about me today, but when Paul and I were first dating, I had a show there. This was like 2019, and he had driven through, or I can't remember how it happened, but he just said, check behind the curtain on the stage, and he had left me like a little love note at my gig, and
that's
he had
so
drove through
cute.
And drops it off behind the curtain. Gross, everybody. We're going to throw up on it.
I love that.
I died. I was like, who is this man? It's still my favorite story. It was so sweet. Ugh. Anyway, Do you want to tell me about a couple of your tattoos before we get out of here?
I do.
I love them, and I just am just curious. Like, what? The hands?
Which one?
Well, I mean, well, this is awesome.
So, this is a Thunderbird. Let me tell you the story.
Okay, tell me.
So, my dad told me, my dad, Sasquatch Slim, shout out to him. He plays music as well.
I'm sorry, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you're big, but you're skinny? Or, like, he's hairy and skinny?
No, he's, like, 6'4".
Okay.
And so they call him Sasquatch Slim. But he says, you know, I've got this friend that I've known for all these years from Georgia, Kira. He said, Kira Waymore, you're going to love her. And so I just took his advice. I just, you know, so they were coming through town. She's also a musician, her and her husband, the Waymores. Shout out to them, too. So they were coming through town, and we had never met each other. And I was like, well, come to my house. Come stay with me, you know. Dad says I'm gonna love you. So they came in town, and I met her, and we like have the exact same natural colored hair and everything. Like, we just two peas in a pod. She had this tattooed on her hand, and I said, man, I really love that, like, the placement and what it means and everything, because it's basically means like, I will not be defeated, like, I'm gonna, you know.
Oh.
And so I said, can, that's such a cool tattoo. And she said, well, go get it. I said, really? She's like, yeah, let's be tattoo sisters forever, you know? So I went, I got it done, and she's turned out to be just one of those people that I can call at 5 a.m. or send her a crazy text, and we are on the same page about everything. Dad was right.
Yeah.
He was right.
Dads usually are.
Yeah.
I will not be defeated. I love that.
Yeah.
And thanks. How do people draw straight lines on that's really good.
That's a bug and wrinkle tattoo. It's the tattoo of a, it's the toe of a boot.
Right. That's, yes, yeah. It is.
Yeah. And that's the specific design is bug and wrinkle.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Rad.
And so then also just to touch on this, my knuckles say love and hope. They're not very legible. It doesn't matter why. But I will tell you that when my ex-husband and I were together, we were, I'm going to dive right into this. It's fine.
Whatever.
I'm going to overshare. We were getting high. We had a lot of drug abuse in this situation. And he looked at me one moment in like a moment of clarity. And we were high out of our minds. And he looked at me and he said, you have this eternal flame of hope in you that the next day you're going to wake up and it could potentially be the best day of your life. He said, and I hate you for that. And I try to crush that. I try to kill that. And that whole memory of that moment is really vivid. And so we had to discuss it later. And he's like, oh, I'm going to take you to get your knuckles tattooed. Love and hope because of that moment. And so it's just wild that it's circled all the way back.
For being
back
a psychopath, he's pretty self-aware when he does drugs.
Very.
Yeah, I need to find the one that said, you're nothing without me. I got that one a lot. You'll be nothing without me. But you do have an eternal light about you, and you're just so good, and I'm so proud of you. And
thanks
for coming to make this work. And we can always go get a Mosey's Martini together.
Love it.
I might take Kyle to go get one after this. Where we deserve a martini for what? What did we do today? Well, you drove. Kyle does 85 different things, including this podcast. And I sent him a picture today. There was an article that came out. I got a Google alert, and it was me being just classically Brie, not very well worded. That was just. I just talk to my friends, and basically Kyle does all the work, and I just have the easy job, and I just like invite my friends over, and then Kyle takes over, and so he deserves a Mosey's martini or something.
Absolutely.
I love it. And the Billie Jean's, that's the only thing I think we didn't talk about that I wanted to talk about.
The Billie
about.
Jean's.
Yeah.
It has turned into this really great, beautiful thing. It's six of us now. We're, Kalani and Andy Holloman. And Allie, it's hard to keep their names straight. And Allie Matice and Melissa Townsend and Caroline Parker. And then me. And
it's all chicks.
It's all women.
I
bass,
love it.
Drums, everything. And we've come together and we're all very different personalities. And it's beautiful.
I love it.
Our practices are just chit shows.
Yeah,
They're great. It's great.
Well, I just suggested y'all for something the other day. So I hope that works out. Because I was like, I have the perfect...
We just played Drunk Gypsy Prom.
Great.
We played, we opened for Two Tons of Steel.
I wonder if that was it. Maybe. I'm not taking credit for your gig, but anyway. it was something. How did it go? Was it awesome?
It went so cool. It went so well. I will say the thing that's intimidating is, like, when people are so close to the stage and there's so many people that you can see, like, the whites of their eyes. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. They were just all these people at the front of the stage just screaming all the lyrics back to us.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took my boots off and I walked through the mud and danced around. We had a driver that drove us home and we had some cocktails and it was like my cup was just, I ugly cried on the way home and talked about theology with Allie Matthys because I love her.
She's so great. So she good. Is on my like short list. I've been trying to get her on here too. It was like between you and her, we're definitely going to get her on there. She has my dream job as a yoga teacher and a musician.
Yeah. She's such a lover. She's like, her heart's so big.
Yeah. I know. I love that about her. Well, thank you for coming and sitting in my RV with my dog.
I feel at home. Like a little dog in an RV.
I know. You did the RV thing for a while. We talked about it.
Yeah.
It's really, if you don't have one, you should get one because it really, it's just a different way of living and it kind of makes you appreciate having less shit.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I love you to
death. Thanks for having me.
This is a new chapter, girl. A good one.
I'm kicking the door in.
You are, and this new song is going to be killer.
Thanks.
And I got to hear it first. No offense. Okay, bye.
37 going on 22, but I learned the ropes and I broke your rules. Earned a crown from all of my hard living. I'm the queen of bad decisions.